as kind of people are making their way in and settling, let's open in prayer this morning. Let's look to God as we come together this morning. Father God, I thank you so much for your presence, Lord. I thank you for being with us. And I know I say that often. But Lord, we want to experience your truth this morning. We want to experience your presence. So we ask that you would invade this place, that you would fill your church with your glory. I pray that the worship that we're about to bring, Lord, that it would be sweet to your ears. That, Father, that it would be a pleasant aroma just lifting from this place. And that, Father, I think of as we enter into a time of worship, Lord, I know that there are many people that are at home, people that are tired, some who could care less about the church, who aren't thinking of the things of God. Many churches have closed their doors and worship isn't being lifted from those places anymore, Lord. But here, we want to worship you. We want to lift your name high. We want to bring you glory, the glory that you deserve, Lord, that you deserve. How you love this world so much, how you care so deeply for every single person that you've crafted and knit together in the womb. How you desire for each to come to a saving knowledge, to return to intimacy with you, how this is your heart for every single person. And I know that it grieves your heart to see so many that have abandoned, who have walked away, who have ignored your call. But Lord, here we are. We've come today because we believe, and we have accepted your invitation. So we want to worship you. We want to lift your name up this morning. We want to give you praise. And we just want to honor you and bless you. And Father, I know that when we seek your face, all that we carry, all the things, the distractions, the burdens, the physical ailments, the financial issues, all of these things that we bring with us, Lord, that they fall away when we look to you. Because it's a supernatural peace that you invade us with. And it's only your peace that can really establish our hearts in the midst of trial and in the midst of challenges and difficulties. So, Father, I pray that we would focus on you, not our issues, but rather we would look to you and we would focus on you and allow your presence to minister to us in a way that only you can and that we need. So Jesus, would you just have your way this morning, Holy Spirit? Guide this service, lead this service, touch every heart that's come. Lord, we're expecting for you to move this morning. We want you to move, Lord. We're pleading for you to move, Lord Jesus, that you would take us from where we are now to where you want us to go. So Jesus, just have your way. Holy Spirit, lead us. Father, may we glorify you. And I pray all these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
All right, praise the Lord. Good morning. We're excited to be with the children this morning, and we just thought we'd share with you our theme song that we have been teaching the children from January to June. We've had a theme, and that is to focus on the promises of God. We have God's promise to forgive us, God's promise to never leave us, his promise to always be with us. Oh, that's he'll never leave us. And his promise to guide us, and his promise to take us to heaven one day. So we have been focusing on these promises of God with the children, and teaching them this song each time that we're here. So we're going to share that with you and rejoice in the promises of God. So sing along. The words are there if you like.
I will never leave you or forsake you. God said that. I will forgive all of your sins. God
Across this land. We want people to know the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want people set free in this life. Father, I thank you that our battle is not against the flesh, but it is in the principalities and the powers. And I thank you, God, that you fight the battle for us, that you strengthen us, and that it's yours, and you've already fought it, and you've already won.
Father, help us to walk in that today.
Bless the Lord, Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul. I worship Your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Worship His holy name.
Inhabit the praises of Your people. You come where there is worship. You come where there's hearts ready to receive from You, Lord. You come, Lord God, in a powerful way and move Your Spirit where there are those who desire, Lord, to serve You in the radical and true way. Amen. To choose You over the things of this world. Lord, we choose You today. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We've been talking about the 12 tribes of Israel for some time as we work through Lent. And sometimes you get them like Naphtali, however you want to pronounce it. Pastor Dan did that one last week when I was in Quebec, which is barely ever mentioned in the scriptures. Not a great deal of things. And then you get Joseph that has 10 chapters with him mentioned in it. And all kinds of stories and stuff. So today we're going to be looking at the tribe, well, really the tribes of Joseph. So let's look to the Lord in prayer again, shall we? Father, we thank You, God, for Your holy word. We thank You, Lord, for those who have... Thank You, Lord. Father, there's this one individual that I just need to pray for, Father God, in the middle of my praying for the sermon. So, Father, I just pray for this gal, Lord. She's on my heart today, and her name just came up on the screen of my phone. And, Father God, Lord, as she's asking for prayer, and when I'm in prayer and then somebody's asking for prayer, it throws me off, and that's a good thing. So we just pray, Father God, as a congregation for this young lady, and we just pray, Father God, right now for her, Lord, that You would minister to her, Father God, and meet her needs right now. Lord, it's about the body. It's about the people. It's about those that You've put in our pathway. And so, Father, we just pray for this young gal right now in Jesus' name. Meet her needs right now where she is. Lord God, provide accommodation, provide the things she needs, Father. Give Christian fellowship where she desires to be here. But Father can't make it, and we just pray for her right now in Jesus' name. Now, Lord, we just continue to pray for the message today. Thanking You, O God, for each one of these tribes and ever the blessings that were given and for the things that they mean to the Church of Christ. And so, Father, we pray today You would empower us in the name of Jesus Christ to know Your will and to serve You better in Jesus' name. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It is a powerful thing to receive the Father's blessing. And as we've been going through this series, we notice that how the Father, that is Jacob, he blessed. And sometimes in his blessing, it didn't seem like much of a blessing. It seemed like more of a curse. In fact, well, those things were curses and they came to pass. When you get to Joseph, though, oh, it's just all blessing, I tell you what, as Joseph pours it on. Joseph, you know, is number 11 of 12, and so he is. We're getting close to the end. Benjamin was 12. We skipped one that we'll do on Palm Sunday, and so that's Simeon, and so we're getting near there, just two more after today. And so Judah, we have promises that are there, promises of the throne, promises, even though Judah was a bad lad at times, God gave him wonderful promises through his father Joseph, the birthright promise of the covenant, and also a blessing of a double portion. A double portion. We'll look a little bit at that. But isn't it good to have the blessing of the Father? the Father's blessing. We're all children of the Father here today that know the Lord Jesus Christ, and we have that blessing of the Father. It's also good to have that blessing of the fathers. That is to say, those that are the patriarchal leaders of homes. I just have one quote I want to bring you on to today. Ray McCollum, a pastor of Christ Community Church, at least he used to be, he's not anymore. He moved on from that church. But when he was pastor at Austin, Texas, at that church, he wrote a book on the blessing, and he said this in it. He said, one of the world's greatest problems is the lack of father blessing. And here he defines that, and I think it's a powerful definition. That is the successful generational transfer of benefits from a father to his children. The successful generational transfer of benefits from a father to his children. This is what's lacking. There was a study done of 17 young men of school shootings, not the mass murder school shootings, but school shootings, young men who had been participating in school shootings. And of the 17, the thing that they found was that none of them had a good relationship with their father. When Chaplain Messenheimer was with us here a couple of weeks ago from the mission, downtown mission, in our private conversations, he didn't mention it at the teenagers meeting, but he mentioned that that one of the things is the need for father figures in the lives of people living on the street, even if they're 80 years old. And that one of the things he needs to be is a father figure. He said that last year they did a little, they gave out free Mother's Day cards offered that as a free thing. Anywhere, we'll pay for the whatever, wherever in the world they are, we'll try to find them, whatever. It's just kind of a blessing. There was over 100 that took them up on that. And then they said, we'll do it again on Father's Day. 5. They have an average of 250 people sleep there every night. There are regulars there, and so over 100, well over 100, wanted to send something to mom, and only 5 wanted to send something. This is not a Father's Day message, but you know, only 5 even wanted to bother to have a Father's Day card sent out somewhere. It reminded me of Polson Prison, because I remember using this a Father's Day message some years ago. In Polson Strait Prison, that's where Johnny Cash got his song, by the way. What's that song anyways? I forgot about it. Polson Prison Blues. All right. But I remember when I saw the quote, I thought, God, Johnny Cash, that's right. But anyways, they have a prison population of 2,066. They also did a free Mother's Day card thing, and 2,000 out of 2,066 signed up for a free Mother's Day card. And 20 out of 2,066 signed up for the Father's Day card, the free Father's Day card. Does that tell you something? But that's a California prison, one of the largest prisons in the United States. That there is a disconnect, that there is a break. And this is Satan, right? No, let's not forget who our adversary is. Let's not forget where it comes from. This is the desire of the enemy, is to break the fathers and sons, is to break the fathers and the daughters, is to discontinue the relationship, is to put curses instead of blessings into that situation, is to raise a generation in rebellion. And so it is good that we have this relationship that Jacob has with his sons, even if it doesn't always sound as clear as we'd like it. We come now to Joseph. Joseph with so much in his life. You've got the stories of Joseph, right? I'm preaching to the choir here today. All right. You know that there was a great love relationship between Jacob and Joseph. You know that it was his favorite son from his favorite wife. You know that when there was danger that took place, even when he went to see his brother Esau, he put Joseph and Rachel at the very back of the caravan to protect them. In other words, take my other sons and wives first, you know. There was a real lavishing of love, lavishing of safety, lavishing of gifts, and on Joseph. In Genesis chapter 37, we have the coat of many colors when there was the coat of many colors. There was all of the things that he had done. We know that when he was with his brothers, that he was given a level of trust that was beyond his measure and beyond his years. Know that he was number 11 of 12, and at that time he was 11. And here Reuben and those guys, number 1, 2, and 3, that he had more trust put in him, and it was a slap in the face. We know that he had the revelations, the dreams, that others couldn't accept because of their bitterness, but they came true nonetheless. We know how he was sold into slavery. We know how he was betrayed by Potiphar's wife. We know how the God lifted him up and exalted him from the prison to the prime minister's job. We know all of that stuff.
Joseph done nothing wrong.
He did nothing wrong. He was greatly blessed because of his integrity, his commitment to allow the plan of God to unfold in his life. Because of that, God blessed him with a double blessing. And I'm saying today, friends, that that blessing is available to us if we allow God to take our lives. If we allow God just to move in our lives and have his way, that we will receive the double blessing. Like all the brothers, Joseph received a blessing at the end of his father's life. He went through all of the sons, but he also had a second blessing. Earlier, before that, is chapter 49 is the blessings. In chapter 48, of course, Joseph, the reuniting of his father, the reuniting after those many years gone, and Joseph, he gets a blessing in chapter 48, and his two boys, Ephraim and Manasseh, are there in chapter 48, and Jacob blesses them as sons. And so that's where Joseph gets a double portion of the land of promise. He gets a double portion of the blessing. He gets the blessing at the death of Jacob, before the death, and he also gets a blessing when he meets him. So there's many, many blessings. And as any father knows here, when you see your sons getting blessed, when you see your daughters getting blessed, you see your children getting blessed, you're blessed. Romans chapter 8, verse 28 says this, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purposes. This is not just an Old Testament thing, this is an all-time thing, amen? That if you follow after God, if you do the right thing, if you allow God to make your life a blessing, if you allow God to move in your life, then you will be blessed. To all those who are called according to his purpose, there is a blessing. Everything works together for good. It's not just a trite saying, oh, it'll all turn out fine, you know that? Oh, it'll be okay. And what else do you say sometimes when people are going through troubles? But that is one of the trite things it seems that we have to say. It's going to be okay. You can say it in phoniness or you can say it in faith. Those are your opportunities. What do you mean by that, Pastor? I mean, you can pat people on the back and you can say it's going to be okay. And inside you're going, I don't know about this. It can be what we call a crapshoot, you know, kind of throwing the dice. Well, I hope it's going to be okay. I hope they'll be fine. I hope they make it through this. You can say to people those kind of things in times when they're going through stuff, and it's just kind of a wishful thinking. Or you can say it with faith behind it, saying, I know it's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. It's going to turn out all right. Because why? Because I know the God of Israel. And so when you do say that to people, I pray that you say it with absolute faith behind it, that when you pat people on the back, when you tell them it's going to be okay, that you're saying it with faith, that you're saying with confidence, that you're saying it because you know the God of Israel, you know the God of Jacob, amen? You know the God who is able to do it above and beyond what we ask or think, amen? That's 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Anyways, verses 9 and 10 or 2 Corinthians, which one? But anyways, you know, eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has head entered in the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them. But in these last days, he has revealed it to us. Amen. And is revealing it to us. You know, he's got it together. Amen. Our God has it together. And we need to be vessels. We need to be vehicles where God speaks through us to others. It's going to be okay. You're going to make it. You're going to see this. God's got this. It's not just phrases, it's not just sayings, it's reality, it's power, it's prophecy. When you say it prophetically, that's power. God's got this. It's going to be okay. Philippians chapter 1, Paul again says this, being confident of this very thing. You know the scripture. That he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God's got this. You're going to make it. Amen? We need to have that kind of faith, and we need to present that kind of faith to others. God's got it. Why don't you tell your neighbor, it's going to be okay. You're telling yourself, some of you. Oftentimes your neighbor is your spouse, so that's good to tell them that. Anyways, you know, it's going to be okay. God's got this thing. God's got it. And throughout of all, and this is something that Joseph hung on to the whole time. There was a confidence, there was an understanding that God's got this. Or whether his brothers are, it hurts when you're rejected. It hurts when you're betrayed. It hurts when people ridicule you. It hurts when people lie about you. It hurts. Not saying that Joseph wasn't hurt. I'm not saying it doesn't hurt when these things happen to you. But when you know who your God is, and you know what he's capable of doing, because you have a vision, because you have a dream, because you have a revelation. And this is where he was when he was a young boy. He had a vision, he had a dream, he had a revelation. And if nobody else believed in it, he did. He did. He did. He did. And because he had these revelations, because he had these dreams, and because he believed in them, God gave him more. And God gave him more. And God gave him more. And God continued to lead him through very difficult things, but always with a plan and always with a purpose. I don't know the plan and the purpose, friends. I don't know if it's meant for me to know. I don't know if it's meant for you to know why you're going through the things that you go through or why you went through the things that you went through. But I have to know, I have to believe that if I believe in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is your God and he's my God, then it's going to be okay. I can say that. It's not just trite sayings. It's not just colloquial phrases. It's faith and it's prophecy. Have you prophesied into anybody lately? Oh, sorry, I don't have that gift. Well, you can speak truth. You can speak the truth of the Scripture. And that is a prophetic word. When someone is going through something, speak the prophetic word. Anyways, I'm getting away from this. Before we go to Jacob's blessing, there's so much in this story that, you know, where do you start? Well, I always start with the birth of each one of these guys. And so the birth comes to Rachel. Genesis chapter 30. That goes on, it says, verse 22. Here's how Joseph was born. And I think that not only prophetically the naming of children, as I've talked about throughout this series, is important, that the situation that goes on at the birth is important. I believe these things are important. But here is the situation that's going on with his mom. You know, we tend to focus on the blessing of Jacob. What about the blessing of Rachel? So let's go back to his mom when he was born in Genesis chapter 30, as it goes through the list of those who are born. When it gets to Joseph, of course, here is Joseph. And Joseph, it says, and then God remembered Rachel. And he listened to her, and he opened her womb. Wow. It seems that after a time when we had been going through this, the time when all the bickering and the jealousy and all those kind of things maybe had subsided, when Rachel had come to a place of letting go and letting God, whenever it was that there was peace in the valley of the tent of Jacob, I don't know what all was going on, but it seems like there was a point at which, and it usually happens this way before a miracle takes place, is that we yield. Right? We give up. We quit trying on our own. We quit striving. We quit, you know, she had this, we talked about it some weeks ago when she had this idea when she was mad at her husband because she wasn't having a child and she tore into him and demanded this of him and he had to fight with her and there was a nasty situation. She brings in her handmaiden and she says, there, go and have children through her, and he obliges. She has two children. There, all of this tension that, and then Leah, of course, his other wife, Leah, she looks at that and she wants to do this. And she wants, oh, there's terrible bickering. It's a terrible situation. But some point, at some time, I think that Rachel just stopped and just trusted God. That's oftentimes when the miracle takes place. When we give up of our own strength, of our own doing, of our own attempts at things. You know, whether it's trying to see something happen in our own lives or trying to see something happen with our kids or trying to see something happen wherever, when we simply say, Lord, I can't do it. And he says, I've been waiting for you to admit that. I've been waiting for you to give up. I've been waiting. I've been sitting back there listening to you, watching how you do it in your own strength, in your own power, in your own way, and how you're putting this together, and I'm going to do it this way. And I've been waiting for this opportunity. And it says, and he remembered. It seems like God remembers when we're at the end of our rope. That's a special word, he remembered. He remembered. God remembered Noah. And the storm subsided in Genesis chapter 8. God remembered Abraham. And in chapter 19 of Genesis, he rescued Lot out of the city of the valleys, Sodom and Gomorrah, before it was destroyed. When the children of Israel cried out in slavery, Exodus chapter 2, it says, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Why did it take him 400 years to remember that? That's his business. In 1 Samuel, another lady, Hannah, when she was crying out to the Lord, it says, and God remembered Hannah, and she conceived a son. In Jeremiah 31, one of the offspring of Joseph, and God remembered the children of Ephraim, it says in chapter 31 of Jeremiah, as a son, and yearned for him to return to him that he might show mercy on him. It seemed like God says, at a certain point it says, and he remembered Ephraim and he called him to come back to him. In Psalm 105, one of my favorites, and God remembered his covenant. Now God never forgets his covenant with his children. All right? But there is a special dispensation. There's a special manifestation. There is a special thing in the scripture. And it has its own word in Hebrew. It's called zikar. It's the memory of God. And God remembers. Get ready, friends. When God remembers, something good is about to happen. I mean, God knows all things. There is this theological term, the omniscience of God. It means he knows everything at all times. But in a special way, God remembers. And whenever he remembers, miracles are about to happen. I remember the thief on the cross. To give you a New Testament context, what was it that the thief on the cross said to Jesus? He said, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. God remembers. And then God shows up. The memory of God is a manifestation of himself. Here is what one Hebrew scholar said. The memory of Jehovah has its own name, Zikar, and it is a holy and divine concept that is to be worshipped as Jehovah is to be worshipped. This is a Jewish writer. But he was saying this, that the memory of God is something so special that it is to be worshipped, that we are actually to worship the memory of God. That it's part of God, it's a manifestation. We might even call it the Holy Spirit in our understanding, maybe. I don't know. But it's something very special. When God remembers, he's about to manifest himself. And so the second thing is, and he listened. A few weeks ago, I said there was a difference between listening and hearing. And God listens. Meaning that he intimately understands the cry of our heart that nobody else can understand. No matter how close those other people are to you, only God really, truly understands. Why? Because he listens. Right? If somebody would really listen to me, then he would understand. Right? If someone would listen to my situation, then they would understand. If only they would listen to me, then they would understand. God understands because God thoroughly listens. He not just hears it, but he listens to it. You may be sure that God sees you. Maybe that's faith that you have, right? God sees me, I understand. He knows my situation. That's enough to get you mad sometimes. God, you see the situation I'm in? Some people have faith to see that, to say that God sees them. He may even be able to believe that God hears them, but do you realize that God listens? That's why he understands. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 14, I think I have some of these scriptures up here. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Yes, he hears us, but a special way in the New Testament, he hears. It's a listening. He hears the heart cry. In 1 Peter 3 and 12, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer." Attentiveness. "But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." Listen, friends, this is for the righteous. Joseph was a man of God. Joseph was a man of integrity. Joseph was a man who wanted the will of God to be displayed and demonstrated in his life. And to him, the double blessing comes. Jeremiah chapter 29 says this, "Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." I will listen. I will be intimate. I will understand what you're going through. If you come to me, if you yield to me, if you seek me you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. You know, the Bible actually says the Lord doesn't listen to the prayers of the unrighteous. We don't like those verses because it goes against the grain. But the fact of the matter is, God hears it. Oh, yes. He hears everything. He is omniscient. He knows it all. But the intimacy, the listening, the intimacy is for those whose hearts are crying out for God. God knows the situations of every situation that's going on in this world. That's theological correctness, I think. But the intimate understanding is for the hearts of those who cry out to him. In Psalm 66, it says, here's the psalmist. He said, "I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was upon my tongue. If I had not cherished, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened to me." This was his sense. "But God has surely listened and heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me." God understands. He's listening. And then it says, and he opened. The opening is the deliverance. The opening is the miracle. The opening is God's response after he remembers and he listens. Then there's a manifestation. We don't see the remembering. We don't see the listening. We just see the opening. Amen? The opening is the manifestation. The opening is when the miracle, when the stuff happens, right? The stuff that we're looking for. When the things that we've been seeking God for start to take place in our life. But you know, before that ever happens, there's a listening and there's also a remembering that goes on. It's the open heavens. God opens doors. He opens wounds. He opens minds. He opens heavens. He opens a way. When you come to the Red Sea and there is nothing that you can do, God says, "I'll make a way." What is the results of this? I won't take the time, but listen, the results is Rachel said this, "God has taken away my disgrace." And you know what she did after that? In Genesis 30, verses 24. I've really gotten off from Joseph because I got so blessed with Rachel. Here's what happens when God answers prayers. Here's what happens when miracles take place. Here's what happens when God manifests his presence amongst us. Now, I could look at this text and I could say, well, she's being greedy. Because the first thing that happens as soon as she becomes pregnant, she says, "Lord, I want another son." Or when she has a son, she says, "Lord, I want another son." So what is it with that?
Faith rises
when things take place. So I'm not going to be critical about her. I'm not going to say she's being greedy. I'm going to say that when her prayers were answered, then she had faith for more. Faith for more. Isn't that the blessing? When you hear a testimony, when God does something in your life, when you have something that takes place in your life, when God moves, when God blesses, what happens? You have faith for more. I want another. I want more. And not from a heart of greed, because it can happen, but from a heart that desires to see God move again amongst us. It cultivates a hunger. God cultivates a hunger. But because God cultivates a hunger. Where does hunger come from? Where does spiritual hunger come from? It comes from awakening. Spiritual awakening. That's an act of God. So where does greater hunger come from? It comes from our experiencing the sovereign God and wanting more. I want more of that. Not in a negative way, because we can say, oh, you know, we want more. Oh, the church, we want more in the church. We want more of this to take place. We want to see more miracles. We want to see more people saved, blah, blah, blah. More people are getting saved over there than here. We can do it in a very negative way, or we can do it in a spiritual hunger. I want more. Because it feels good, doesn't it, to get blessed? Amen. Jacob's blessing. Genesis chapter 49. It says, verse 22 of Genesis 49, it says this: Joseph is a fruitful vine, a fruitful bough. A fruitful bough by a spring of water. Imagine this. Father's laying his hands on Joseph. Father's pronouncing the blessing. His branches shall overrun the wall. His offspring, the blessings that he have, will overrun the enemy, will overrun the obstacle, will overrun the things that try to stop or say, this is as far as I'm going to let you go and no further. That's what the world says. This is as far we're going to let you go. Here's the wall. No, we're going to run over the wall. We're going to climb the wall. We're going to go over the wall to the other side. The archers bitterly attacked him. The enemy always hates it to see people that are blessed. The enemy has shot at him and harassed him. Look at all. Think of all the things that Joseph went through, all the attacks, all of the attacks, all of the attacks, one after another. He received arrows of bitterness. He received arrows of jealousy. He received arrows of rejection, of lust, of misunderstanding, of lies, of all kinds of things he was shot at. But it says, but his bow remains firm. His arms were agile from the hands of the mighty one of Jacob. From there, the shepherd, the stone of Israel, from the God of your father who helped you, and by Almighty who blessed you with blessings from heaven above, blessings of the deep below, blessings from the breast and the womb, the blessing of your father have surpassed the blessings of my ancestors. I tell you what, Jacob is pouring it in, and actually God's pouring it in through Jacob. He says, the blessing of your father has surpassed the blessing of my ancestors. Everything to this point, you've got more. Up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills, may they be on the head of Joseph and on the crown of his on the crown of the head of the one distinguished among his brothers. In other words, he'll receive honor beyond his brothers. So much that can be said from that text of Scripture we're not going to deal with today. Except that, behold, the love of the Father. And this was a human father, and Jacob made lots of mistakes. But behold the love of the Father, who wants to lavish his children. Didn't Jesus say that if you, being evil fathers, want to do good things for your kids, how much more the Heavenly Father wants to give the Spirit, wants to give you the Holy Spirit, wants to bless you? It's powerful, the blessing of the Father. And the Father wants to bless you today. Does anybody doubt that? I mean, you don't say, yeah, me, but, you know, I mean, we do doubt it sometimes that the Father really wants to bless us. Maybe it's because we had a disconnect from our earthly fathers and there's that wondering, that quandary. And so this morning, saints of God, let's receive the Father's blessing. Can we stand today? Amen. There are so many out there that are struggling because they don't have a relationship to their own fathers. They have not been blessed. They have not had those consistent generational blessings. But all of us need the Father's blessing, the Heavenly Father's blessing. And if you need that today, if you sense you need to come and pray at the altar, if that blesses you, I'd be glad to lay hands on you and pray the Father's blessing over you if you feel a need today, if you feel that that's a missing component right now in your life. Pastor Dan, would you come? I know you're a father, right? Amen. And he's going to come at this time, and we just love to pray the Father's blessing. If that's a missing component, something you say, I just sense that that's something that I need this week. That's something that I need to fulfill the things that I need to do and the things that I need to be. And so, Father, we just ask today, first of all, generally, Lord, we speak the Father's blessing. And we remove the curse of man. And we remove the curse of mankind. We remove the curses that have been spoken over people. We remove the bondages and the brokenness. And we remove the bitterness and we remove the hatred. And we remove the things that are binding. We loose them, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray the Father's blessing fall upon this congregation today. Father, we thank you, Lord, that you want to abundantly bless, that you want to bless in such a powerful way that we will be doubly blessed. So, Father, we stand here today saying, Lord, we're willing. Thank you for remembering us. Thank you for listening to us. Thank you for opening up our hearts to receive the Father's blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.